Hey folks, Alex Lokes here. Welcome back to Classic Camera Revival, and today we have an incredibly talented local Toronto film photographer. And if you've been following our Instagram feed, we know we feature her work quite a bit on our feed, especially on the Women on Film Wednesday. So without further ado, we're going to roll that intro and get right into it.
Welcome to the Classic Camera Revival, coming to you from the Greater Toronto Hamilton region of Ontario, Canada. If you don't have gear acquisition syndrome now, you most likely will by the end of the episode.
And hey there, folks, we are back. So, Tanya, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me. Super, super excited.
Yeah, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the show.
Yeah.
So, what brought you to photography in the first place?
This is funny because someone posted on Threads, I don't know which company it was, and they asked the question like, at what age did you get into photography? And I responded with 1983, which was the year I was born. I feel like I've always, like since the earliest memories, just been into photography, whether it was like looking at family albums, or when I became a teenager, I asked for my own camera just to like capture pictures of out with friends and memories like that. And then through the years, it's just I've kind of gone with the flow of from film to digital and now back into film. So just kind of always been something I've really, really enjoyed.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I thought for a second that was going to be a Taylor Swift like reference. It's like, wait a minute.
What? Why is that a Taylor
1980.
Swift reference?
Wait,
I don't
I
know.
think it's like 1984. It's like a Taylor Swift reference or something. But I was like, wait a minute. I just completely upset so many like Swifties out there just now. So I
Which
apologize to the Taylor Swift fans who are out
yeah,
there.
sorry, we didn't drop any Swift lines.
So you were doing you've been into photography like your entire it's actually your entire life, which is I think super rad. It's Chris, by the way. I haven't been online in a long time, but I had to come on because I've always been a big fan of Tanya. Jess knows this. I've talked her ear off about it many times off camera, so
You.
it's
Yeah, and
a couple of
you've always
times.
been so like, I don't know, supportive and with your messages. I always get like happy when I see little messages from you or when you post and everything like that. So
Goal
I'm really
achieved.
happy that we can actually, talk.
I'm kind of curious because you said you're kind of into photography your entire life. Is that like something that's been like big in like your family? Because I know like for example in my family, my dad was always really big into photography, and that kind of like creeped into like us kids. So is
Yeah.
it like a similar situation for you or?
It's funny because I always hear these stories of people like getting, the film cameras they get now passed on from like, grandparents or parents. But I never got those inheritance. So no, they weren't really into photography, but at the same time, they were like I can distinctly remember like my grandma, she always like did slide films, and we'd always like when we'd go over to her house, it'd be like, let's look at when your dad and aunts and uncles were little on like the projector and the slide films. So and then my parents always had cameras on family trips or just like I said, the photo albums that have like collected my in my parents' closets from like every year from when I was born to like when my sister and so on. So they weren't really into photography like as much as I am, but it's definitely they were always taking pictures. That makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, for sure. I
Yeah.
think family photos is always kind of like a really like kind of like a very I'm trying to think what the right word is. You could tell it's been a while since I've done this, but it's like
Okay.
kind of like something that almost every family can kind of relate to because almost every family's had like at least one family photo or like has had like a camera phone or like something
Yeah.
around to capture memories, the Kodak moment or whatever they call it. So
Yeah, I was just
glad
gonna
that
say,
it's
it's kind of sad that the family photo album seems to have like disappeared a little, like, because now we have our phone, so everything's there.
Yeah.
But, if we don't print it out and put it into an album, like our parents, like my parents, my story is exactly the same as yours. I was literally born a year before you, and I always had photography in my life, had a film camera in my hand, same thing. Yeah. And I still remember those photo albums. And I've always wanted to recreate my own photo albums. And then I just run out of time, run out of steam, run out of whatever. And they're not done.
And it's weird too, because I don't have my own kids, but I have a niece and nephew. And I always will be taking pictures of them, obviously with my phone, but I make a point to also do it with film photography, because I can print them out and then I give them to like my sister, my mom, because my mom has kept up with the albums and printing out photos.
Oh, wow.
So nice. Yeah. And especially since, you know, they had the grandkids too. I don't know whether that stemmed from how much joy the photo albums brought to me, that my mom kind of wanted to like have that for them. But yeah, it's just nice to, I don't know, to have those like physical prints. Cause like you said, when you have your phone camera and the digital, they just stock up on like the cloud. Right. And you don't make that time to actually print them out. So,
well, it's interesting. Interesting because I've actually started making photo albums now that we have a little one. And it's not like the traditional photo albums, which my parents still have pretty much my entire childhood, all in print form. And my parents have photo albums from when they were kids that their parents prepared as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I use Blurb software and just make a photo book.
Okay.
Each year, like from through each birthday. And that's a Christmas gift.
Oh.
To my wife.
Nice.
Sweet idea.
But I just love it. Funny too, because I have my own photo albums, but from when I was a teenager. So it's funny that I still have them. I'll look through them to find a time, and then you can distinctly tell where the switch from film to digital went, like in 2003-04, I want to say, where my album stopped. Right? And everything's just on SD cards or CDs, or I have no idea where those pictures are.
My dad prints out the photos that he takes on his digital camera, and they're just in like those like boxes of like photo paper.
Yeah.
So whenever my aunt comes like to visit from Vancouver, he's like, oh, let's go look at the photos. He'll pick out like this like stack of like 10 boxes, because he never knows what's in each box. He's like, he'll also like go through a couple, like, oh no, not this one. He'll go through like a different box. So like, just having, yeah, I kind of like having like the actual, like the physical aspect of like, you know, turning a page or like flipping to the next photo. Yeah. It's that, I don't know, there's je ne sais quoi, I guess. That's me doing Duolingo. Just that action, that motion is like very, I don't know, fulfilling, I find.
Yes. So. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what's so satisfying about photo books too. You know, it's not a family album, but it's still fun to flip through someone else's work and see all that. Yeah.
Or even your own work. There's that sense of pride of having this completed body of work that might have taken you years to produce. And these days it's even better because there's so many great online self-publishing options that you don't need to go through all the mess of finding an agent, finding someone willing to invest in it, and buying large quantities and crossing your fingers that they sell.
Yeah, I got to get there.
Yeah.
One day. Yeah. Maybe one day.
But we're talking to Tanya. So yes. How about you? Are you planning on putting out any like photo books, or have you thought about doing that? Like kind of working on like rather than the family album, taking your work and publishing?
Yeah, I have thought of it. And I kind of last year, every year I've tried to kind of make little goals for myself in terms of my photography. And last year I did want to at least start making my own photo books, but I found that I would just get overwhelmed with how to organize them, I guess. It's like, do I organize it in a theme of, okay, these are all my double exposures, or, you know, a trip to New York. And it kind of overwhelmed me that I just was like, put it off. So now we're in 2024. And again, I've had that goal. And I even, like, my husband was like, you know, I won't, like, to encourage me to do that, he was like, I want to pay for, you know, you to do at least one photo book to like put together. And again, I just kind of stalled on myself to of what to put in that photo book.
Well, it is overwhelming, right? Yeah. Like you're sitting there, especially if you don't know how you want to organize it. Like if you don't have like a project, a specific project or whatever, I've tried for many, many years too. And I have a photo project I did like 7 years ago and I still haven't actually put it out as a book. Yeah. So I totally get what you're saying.
Yeah. I think it's just like, I have to stick with an idea. And then I feel like if I do that, like if I just go, okay, even if I'm just like, let me take the pictures from, you know, 2020 that I took and just put it in a book that I documented, you know, how COVID was. And then I feel like once I've done it once, then I'll like start just rolling with it. So
there's that first one that you want to, like,
I know that's that first, yeah. So
gotta break the ice.
But I did a film swap project last year with it was called Make This a Double. So every year they, you know, pair up random people throughout the world to do a film swap. And I got paired up with a guy in California, Kevin, and he actually, he came up with an idea. We did kind of like a music themed to our photo swap. So he laid out a bunch of songs from the 90s and he shot every frame based on how he interpret that song and then sent it to me. And I listened to the songs and then I put my interpretation in that order. So they end up like the pictures were really cool and really awesome how they kind of came together. But anyways, he ended up making a little photo book of those and sent it to me recently. So that seeing that kind of also inspired me, like, oh my gosh, this is so cool to actually like see my work, you know, in print form. So
that is so cool. Yeah, what a great idea.
Yeah.
So I feel like that kind of lit my fire that, okay, 2024, it's happening. I'm going to do more photo books. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. That project was a lot of fun.
Well, and I noticed on your Instagram feed that you have a lot of double exposures that you like to do and they are just incredible. Like I look at those and I'm super inspired, but terrified to do double exposures. Cause I don't know if I could get them to work like the way you do. Yours are just fantastic.
And not only is it double exposure, it's double exposure on film. And I'm just like,
exactly.
It's mind blowing to me.
Exactly.
It's funny because I kind of had the same reaction. I had no idea what double exposures was like 3 years before. Like, and I came across, I don't know who the account was, but I came across double exposures. I'm like, wait, you can do that on film? Like, that's some crazy editing, like post, like this is on film. So yeah, one of the cameras that I have, the Canon Rebel G, it has just like a setting that you can click to do double exposure. So I was like, you know, I have this camera, this setting, let's try it, right? Like what's the worst thing that can happen? And I don't know, it made me look at photography a little different, not necessarily photography, but just like the world. It was like I could take this building that like is cool to photograph on its own, but then I can put flowers on it. Like how cool is that? So it just like, I don't know. It was like a next level for me in terms of my like creativity using photography. So, and it's funny that you say, I don't know, that you kind of are scared to do it because most of the time I have no, like, I'm just kind of hoping for the best. Like, I'm just like, you know, that's cool. Let's put it together and see what happens. And it ends up sometimes being cool. Sometimes, you know, it's not very good, but.
And it's funny because film's kind of like that as it is. Film photography in general is like, will it work? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. Yes. So for sure, double exposures are something that interests me. And they look like they're a lot of fun to do. I've done a few on Instax film because I have a camera that lets me do it. And it's fun. It's definitely fun. I have not nailed the technique yet. So I'll keep practicing and see what I can come up with.
I feel like with that, once I learned, you know, which to do the darker exposure or like shadows for the first shot, knowing that the second one will stand out on those shadows, then I was like, okay, now I know I can be a little more intentional with it, especially with like kind of more the portrait and shapes kind of thing. So
I know the one thing I really love about your work is that I think it's always had this sort of almost like ethereal, dreamy-esque quality. And it's just something that I've always been like, oh, that's so that's really cool. And it's kind of like Jess said, it's very inspiring. Then when you throw on the double exposure on top of that, I think the one that I saw kind of recently, it's a street light, and I think it was a model or someone portrait
Oh
behind
yes.
it.
Yeah, I think I have that one pinned. Yes.
It
It's
might
the
be pinned, yeah,
back.
probably.
Yeah, the back of someone and then the street lights.
It's just
Different.
what? It's like, what is this? This is amazing. So.
It's and like the story behind that one was we were at a portrait shoot kind of thing, and it's more of okay, let's try this. I asked TJ, I'm like, stand like the shadow of there, and then I saw this street light and I was like, let's just put that together, see what happens. And it ended up luckily being pretty neat in the end.
It's
So
cool.
yeah.
And I just have to fangirl one last time over your work because
Oh,
this is
I will
something
never
that
stop fangirling.
it's so incredible. Your self-portraits,
Oh,
they
thank you.
are so inspirational. They are so beautiful. And the words that you combine with them are sometimes I don't want to say heartbreaking in the sense of I'm sad for you or anything, but just I can feel what you're feeling in the moments that you've written those. And it's just so, I just love how honest you are with people and how much you're able to put yourself out there. But does it ever scare you? Like
Oh my
when you
gosh.
go to hit publish, are you like, oh God, what am I doing? Oh my God, am I just gonna open myself up to a barrage of terrible comments and
I'm not really worried about terrible comments. I feel like it's more of the vulnerability of my the caption that I'm like, oh my gosh, I shared all this with people. And I tend to, when I do those self-portrait deep caption shots, I tend to post and just put my phone away because I'm like, it's gonna overwhelm me. Most of the comments I get are really meaningful, and a lot of people will respond saying oh, I can relate to that. And it's just it kind of overwhelms me in the sense of me sharing that and other people knowing they might not be alone in whatever I'm sharing. So yeah, but I think I like pairing the self-portraits with those deep captions because both are very vulnerable to me and to most people, I think, right? With when they think of self-portraits and then to kind of give a little deeper into it. So, but overall, I think it's been more rewarding for myself and kind of therapeutic.
Yeah, that's
Definitely
true.
therapeutic.
Self-portraits can be kind of therapeutic or cathartic. Sometimes you're
Yeah.
trying to get something out, and the easiest way to do that is to turn the camera kind of on yourself
Yeah.
and work your
Yeah.
way through it. One that recently, well, I guess not, I'm not sure if it was recent, but one that really stuck out for me was when you posted on your 40th birthday,
Okay,
or is the one
yes.
about your 40th
Yes.
birthday. And that one really touched me because like I said, I'm a year older than you.
Yeah.
And when I was turning 40, oh my God, that was I was going through everything. And so I told myself when I turned 39, I started a self-portrait project of taking portraits of myself every single
Oh,
day until
wow.
I turned 40. I only made it
Wow.
6 months. I didn't make it the whole way.
Okay,
I
but
just lost
that's still
steam. I
6 months.
lost gumption.
Yeah, I was gonna say 6 months.
And it
Wow.
was all on Instax. So I actually have those
Oh.
out. You know, and I dated each one and everything.
That's amazing.
But it was so cool to see your portrait and the words that you put with it because it really mirrors what so many people I think go through as you turn, to another age, a big age, and especially
Yeah.
one where you're supposed to kind of have everything figured out, but you might not, or you
Yeah.
might, or you know. So, anyways,
Yeah.
I just that's one that really stuck out
Oh,
for
thanks.
me.
Yeah. I feel a lot of the times too, I'm writing as my younger self, as some if that makes sense, that
Oh,
I'm
that's fun.
what would 20-year-old Tanya, who did she think she was? And kind of talking to her, if that makes any sense, that
It makes a lot of
and
sense, I think.
in a way that it's kind of can convey to other people that they, at one point whether they're 40 or they're 20 can get a little more insight. I don't know, but
that like a little bit of introspection or in that introspective like viewpoint. But like Jess said, I think just like mirroring the was like the photo and like the words behind it. It's tough because you're putting yourself out there, you're being vulnerable, but at the same time, I know that I can only speak for like my own experience, but like being like the viewer, the one that's reading it, it's something that can either like really like tug at the heartstrings or just like make me think like, huh, okay. So like, and like when you can relate to it or when it makes you think about like, oh, this is like something to keep in mind that, you know, like I'm not alone is like kind of like the big one. I think that's just like beautiful in itself. So
thank you.
And where does your inspiration for these come from? Do you come up with the words first and then do photos around them, or?
No, I think a lot of the times, I mean, the photos I take and then I kind of, I don't really like the picture I posted for my 40th. I didn't necessarily think when I was taking that picture, like, oh, this is going to be the picture I take for my 40th and I'm going to write this. It was like, okay, I have some thoughts in my head and I'm going to, you know, pair those kind of up. So that's kind of how my thinking is. But a lot of the times the words come like the day I post what I post. So I'll be like, okay, here's the picture. And then I just go. In a way, I kind of treat it like my online journal with people reading and seeing pictures. So yeah,
it's kind of a cool visual diary, really. You know, like, because it's something you can look back on as well. Like, it's your own Instagram page, so you get to do whatever you want with it.
Actually, like last week, I was getting like scared that I was like, oh no, what if this Instagram is gone? So I actually like screenshotted and like saved all the captions for every single one of my posts because I was like super paranoid that I would lose that. Like, I'm like, I have the pictures, but I'm like the words. I think a lot of people not relate, but I feel like a lot of people enjoy my work is because of the captions as well. That, you know, I kind of make 100%. It human.
I don't know. I never even thought about if there was no Instagram and all my captions disappeared. Uh-oh.
I know, I was going to say, go and screenshot.
I'm going to go save those now. Some of them are nothing, but some of them mean something. Yeah. So,
I didn't do all of them. Just
a photo book, that's what you got to do. So,
yeah.
Yeah, and that could be an idea. You could always do your self-portraits and put the words
on one page. And I did think of that when I was saving all the caption. I was like, you know, I could do one that's just kind of, you know, of my words with self-portrait. So
good thing there's editing.
I'm like,
well, I just figured I kind of monopolized the conversation there for a little bit. So I was like, well, let someone else jump in if
it's all good.
So you said that like when you were in when you were kind of like growing up, you asked for your first camera. This is gonna be the question I ask you. What was your first camera? Do you remember?
I want to say because my mom found a camera in like they had moved and she was going through my stuff and she's like, Tonya, I found this Canon Sure Shot, I think that's what it's called, like a point and shoot.
Nice. Yeah.
So I'm pretty sure that was probably the first one that I had got for myself. I think I was borrowing one of my mom's cameras at one point when I was like 12 or something. I don't know what that was, but the Canon Sure Shot, and it still works pretty good.
Nice. Hey, there you go.
Yeah. When she found it, I'm like, oh, I gotta take this for a go. Actually, there was still a roll of film in that camera. And nice. I only took up to maybe 15. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna shoot the rest. So that was a lot of fun when I went to go get it developed. That a lot of pictures came back from like over 20 years ago. It was like my mom's birthday, which was kind of wild because I was like, it's my mom's birthday. And I was like, oh my gosh, she was like turning younger than what I am now. Like, it's so weird that I like captured. So that was a lot of fun, that little discovery.
Nice.
That is so cool.
Yeah. And the rest of the film came out pretty good for being like as expired as it was.
Well, and sitting in a camera too.
And sitting in a camera. Yeah, I was surprised.
Probably wasn't stored in direct sunlight, right?
Yeah. Stored in a basement for 20 some odd years.
Yeah. There you go. So since the point and shoot, what sort of cameras do you shoot with today? Like, I mean, a lot of us have quite a large toolbox, and what's in your toolbox?
So the point and shoot that kind of re-sparked my interest into film was I ended up going on eBay and getting the Olympus Miju, and that with for a point and shoot, and I was like, okay, this is how I'm going to get back into film photography. And then from there, I ended up having some, like, an aunt give me a Minolta Maxim.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I had someone else give me I'm like trying to think offhand what the someone gave me an old Polaroid camera. Nice. I think a 635 mm-hmm. Polaroid.
Yeah.
So, and that's the work. I really like Polaroids, but they're just so expensive.
I know.
Yeah, it's love hate relationship.
And to find the film too is like, I think only once have I gone to Downtown Camera and they had the Polaroids that I needed for that camera, and it was like 30 some odd dollars. I was like, for how many shots do you get? Like 7? I think eight. It is.
You get 8,
and I was
like $4 a shot.
Yeah, and I was like, I don't know. It was fun. I ended up actually using that for a Christmas, like with the family.
Oh, so
I
fun.
Was to capture just like, you know, with my nieces and nephews. And then I was lucky. I feel like a lot of my cameras have kind of been luck. I actually won a contest from Lomography, and they sent me a Diana, like a special edition Diana.
That's nice. Cool.
So yeah, so that was a lot of fun to like get that. And they sent me all the, you know, the lights and cool filters and stuff like that. And then someone local, Victor, he posted that he was moving, so he's getting rid of his camera. So he was like, you know, the first person to message me, I'll give you my Hasselblad 500 EL. And I was like, there's a catch to this, right? So I messaged him, I'm like, I'm interested. He's like, okay, let's meet here. I'm like, can I give you something for this? This is, and he's like, nope, I gotta get rid of it, I'm moving, gotta get rid of all my cameras. I'm like, okay, but I didn't get excited till I actually had it in hand, so I have that. Oh,
God.
Now I know
it, was it like, next to a dumpster behind a Tim Hortons?
No, like, and luckily I had met him before, otherwise I would have been like,
yes,
this is sketch, like, but I had met him before in a public place, legit. And I was like, and he gave me a Nikon point and shoot as well. He's like, here, nice. Yeah, take this.
Wow.
So, yes, so that
people in like Toronto are lucky. I need to move out to Toronto, or at least like hang out a little more often.
Yes
I mean, I get some free stuff out here too, you know. Yeah. Alex has sent me cameras before and everything, but what? But Hasselblad so, yes. for free?
Yes.
For those that are listening to this, you have to understand, while Tanya was telling the story, Jess's jaw was like to the ground the entire time.
Like, that was me. Like, I was like, this can't be true. I told my husband, I'm like, no, like, this, like, he's going to.
Like, there's a cash.
I'm not
work.
Coming home. I'm getting murdered for this.
I'm sharing my location just in case.
Yes. And nope, legit works like beautifully. And nice. So I have like getting that, I feel like really that, I don't know, changed my trajectory of like love for film, just shooting with that. So I feel like that's like my prized possession.
No, absolutely. I totally get it. 100%. I felt the same way when I got my Rolleiflex.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
It's just I'm like, so, but yes. And then I've, you know, some people have lent me their cameras to just try out, Yashica D, I think it is.
Okay.
Yeah. And I tried a range finder. I don't know what kind it was, but I did not like that. Did not like a range finder at all. Yeah. I was like, nope, never again. I'm out. but yeah. And then the Canon Rebel, I feel like is my just my kind of go-to, everyday or go-to, reliable, hasn't let me down kind of camera. So, but yeah,
And do you have like a dream camera, like a camera you'd love to own, or was that the
Hasselblad? I feel like I have it now.
Like, she has a Hasselblad, Jess. I mean,
well, you never know. Like, you never know.
I never really was like techie about it. Like, I've never, when it comes to photography, I was never like, oh, I need the greatest and the best. But so no, I don't really have a dream one. I like to just try other cameras, if anything. Like, that's kind of my, what I like about photography, film photography specifically, is because I like trying different film stocks. I like trying different cameras and different, like with the double exposures, just new things. I really want to try film souping. I know people say it's kind of like, I don't know, not gimmicky, but.
Oh, but it can be done really nice. Like,
yeah, really cool stuff, especially with like souping Polaroids. But like,
yeah.
So like that's like a wild ride in itself. But
I don't think I've ever seen anything on that. That's cool.
Oh, I am sending you links after this.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I'm like, now I'm intrigued.
But I saw somebody post recently about like film souping, and they were using like different teas.
I saw one he like baked it in bread. And like,
yes.
What? Yeah.
Again, a lot of people do these things for like, you know, the viralness or like Instagram thing.
Just to see how crazy it can get.
Yeah.
Maybe don't eat the bread. Like, but...
Don't eat the bread.
The results that he showed looked pretty okay.
Looked cool. Yeah.
So
interesting.
But... If you're interested in film souping, Katie Mullen. Over in Michigan, Chrissy, you remember her? We met her at the FPP walk in Ann Arbor.
Yes, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, she does a lot of film souping.
Yeah, I definitely would want to try. And now that I'm have started developing my own film, now I wouldn't feel so bad about possibly like ruining someone else's machines or something. Yeah. So.
I wouldn't take that to Grain Nation.
Yeah.
Neil would kill you.
How have you found the developing process going for you? Because I think you started like what, last year, I think? Or
yes. Yeah. Like kind of very recently last year. So last year I actually, my first kind of step was getting a scanner. So I got the EBS V600, the one that everyone kind of I feel like has. So I was scanning my own, and then I was like, let's go, we're going to development. So done the black and white. And then I just have done two rolls of color now. And I really, really, really enjoying the whole process of that. So
it's a lot of fun.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I feel like I want to I think I was listening to one of your podcasts where you're talking about the black and white and how when you develop it, you can really change the results of. So I'm kind of wanting to dive more into that in terms of like, okay, so how can I change the development, and like
you're,
I think you guys said about the times and the how much you
and the agitation, how much, how hard, how vigorous,
how dilute, how strong.
Yeah.
You're gonna end up with a big box full of partially used bottles just because you like the way one thing looked in this one chemistry, so you just always have to keep it on hand now.
Yeah. But do you know what you're trying to achieve in the end, or is it a lot of trial and error?
At first, for me, it was a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
But eventually, as I learned what I liked, I could basically go like, okay, I want this look on my final images, so I need to use this film stock, I need to shoot it in this camera so I can meter it this way. I want this lens, this filter, and I want to develop it this way with this chemical and this style. Okay. So I can achieve a level of consistency in my work, mostly through like a lot of trial and error and excessive amount of note keeping.
Yeah. I feel like I have to get better with my note keeping. I like have the intention of it, and then I get caught up with the things. But for that film swap, I was talking about the project I did, that I had to, you know, when I listened to the songs, I wrote out kind of my intention of the photo. So I liked changing that. Like, I liked that different style as opposed to how I normally just will go out with my camera and kind of capture what I see. With that project, it was like, okay, this is intentional. And I liked that. I liked mixing that into my photography. So,
well, it's always fun to try different styles and experiment, yeah. See what we like, you know, and sometimes it might not be something we do for a long time or we'll pick it up again later, but it's always nice to just kind of always have that in your arsenal, like always just in the back of your head, like I could reach for that style again if I want to do it, or if I want to do a project like that, I'll do it again. And
if I don't want to have an idea how it kind of works. So
yeah, for sure.
So what sort of film stocks do you love?
I love Kodak Gold 200. Yes. Really, I love it so much. Yeah. I think they say, what, it's a poor man's Portra or whatever.
I don't care.
I don't care either.
Portra's overrated.
The price is right. And then I think sometimes it's way better than Portra, to be honest, regardless of the price. I'm just always happy with Kodak Gold.
It's also like the most like consistent too. Like
it is.
Yeah. I always know like roughly like how it's going to develop, because you know like Portra's like super saturated.
Yeah.
And then like I think it's like Superior is like always like in my mind like over is like bright.
Okay. Yeah.
But like Kodak goes like it's always like okay, I know like roughly what this is going to look like. It's not a lot of big surprises.
Mm-hmm.
Both reliable.
And yeah. I like the tones of it. Like I just that, especially in the autumn time and even in the spring, just the colors, I just love how gold captures that. So it's definitely
works like, really well in the fall too, especially if you shoot it through a Holga. You shoot it through that plastic lens.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Or you go really wild and you process it in ECN2 chemistry.
Oh.
That's something I want to try. Yeah.
That's interesting.
It looks really good.
What does it look like? What kind of results do you get?
You get that the contrast gets lower, but it also gets a lot warmer, especially if you shoot it at like sunset. I took it out to a historic home in Mississauga and again shot it through my Rolleiflex and processed it in the FPP ECN2 kit and just like, oh wow, that looks really good.
Huh. That's interesting. Yeah, I do like Superior. So it's gone now, right? The Fuji, is it?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like I stocked up on it. So I had so much of it. And I did, like, it never really disappointed me. It was one of those just like reliable. Okay. I can count on you. I liked how it was in the winter because of the blue, like the bluish kind of undertones I found. So it really brought out the cold. That makes sense. But overall, I like trying the different film stocks. I really like the Lomography line, the
Lomo 800. Oh my god.
Oh, 800. Yes,
beautiful.
Yes.
I've never shot Lomo 800.
Really? No. Alex,
even I've shot Lomo 800 and I'm like,
come on, black and white guy here.
Yeah, like, right person over here. Yeah.
I feel like Lomography gets like a bad rap sometimes for their color films because people say like it's, you know, it's unpredictable and stuff like that, but for me that kind of stuff is like exciting for me. Yeah. The unpredictable, same reason why I like, you know, shooting expired film, because it's just like, what are we gonna get?
Expired film.
Yeah.
So the Polaroid like tagline is embrace the chaos. And I don't know if that's actually what the tagline is, but that's what a lot of people say. And it's because you never really know how it's going to turn out. And I kind of feel the same way about expired film. And that's kind of like the joy of it.
Yeah.
Like, how is this going to turn out? I don't know.
Yeah. And I think that's like to kind of wrap it up into film photography as a whole is you know what you capture, but at the same time, there's that like, you know, waiting of, what did I capture and how is it going to turn out, right? It's like it kind of teaches you that patience of like, I know what I took pictures of, but how are they going to turn out in the end? Whereas, you know, with digital, you get that like instant, okay, there it is. So yeah, it's all just really exciting for me, the whole process of of film photography. So
made even harder when you can actually develop at home, and it's like, oh, do I take this home and develop this right now?
Yeah, actually, this past weekend, I wanted to develop because I'm now in like, you know, my development excitement. I was like, I have nothing to develop. Aww. Does anyone want to send me some film? I could just develop because I really want to develop, but I don't want to like just take a role, like shoot a role for the sake of developing. But
if yes. I was in Toronto, I would bring you my backlog.
Okay.
I'm still working through it.
I have a couple of rolls in my fridge still from like a couple of years ago. So yeah.
I was gonna say.
Now that's fun. Leave a roll undeveloped for a couple of years and then
I don't think
develop it and scan it and you're like, wow, I don't remember this at all. Well,
yeah.
I've done that once where a roll of film actually got knocked off. I sort of keep a sort of containers where my undeveloped rolls are now, but it used to just be I put them up on a shelf and one of them got knocked, it fell into a box, and it was a few years later that I actually found this roll. I'm like, what was it from? And it was actually from the very first Toronto Film Shooters meetup.
Oh, wow.
So
that's awesome. How many years later was it from like a good 5-6?
No, we're
I think you guys are 10 years, right?
CCR, we're in our 10th season, yeah. 10 years. TFS started 2013.
Okay.
So no, it was only a 2 or 3 years. So wasn't that long of a time.
But still exciting.
Yeah.
Month for me, I'd be like, what's on this?
I do not like backlogs.
Yeah.
Don't look at mine.
I don't like backlogs. I don't look at other people's or like, oh yeah, this person does it this way, so they're wrong. I'm the only one who's right. I don't do that.
Jess, do you develop your own film?
I develop my own black and white, but not my own color yet. I do have chemicals to do color. I just need A, guts, and B, a lot more bottles.
Okay.
And space to store those bottles. But I do actually develop my own black and white, but I'm the type that will like, I'll shoot a roll and it'll always be something weird. Like I'll do like, I often do HP5 at 1600, for example.
Okay.
But then I'll do one roll at 800. And then I'll be like, okay, so I'm going to save this roll and wait for a second one so I can do like a batch.
Oh,
and then
I
forget
yes.
about it. And then it's years later and I'm like, oh yeah, I know. Oh. Okay, well, I'll go out now and shoot another roll of HP5 at 800 and see what I got.
Hmm.
Yeah, so, and I had like an experimental phase where I was like, I'm going to try every single film type and see what I like, what I don't like, and develop them all. And of course, I didn't actually develop them all. So I have no idea what I need to really do. Like, not no idea. I know some films that I like, but some of the more experimental ones, the one-offs, I haven't developed them yet. So I just need to get to it.
I love doing those one-off films that you just don't know what they are. I just did a roll of Bomapan F-21.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
This was like Soviet era.
Oh, yeah. I saw that. I saw the picture of the box. I have that same film. I have two boxes of that same film, and I haven't shot it yet.
D-76 stock 9mm or Rodinal 1-50 for 10.5.
Okay. Did you get any fogging on it?
It got worse the more frames I got down.
Okay.
But the first parts were fine. Mine expired about 1990.
Yeah, that's
what would the fogging like? What would the fogging is just because it's so expired?
There's a couple of things. So I found that medium format films from east of the Iron Curtain made during the Soviet era, the backing paper isn't of the same level of quality as stuff from the west, excluding Ilford, because there was a whole phase where Ilford's backing paper was just horrible. So you'll get a little bit of transfer from the backing paper. You'll get sort of this molting. It actually gives a neat little texture to your film scans. It's actually
okay.
Really cool.
That's interesting.
So
I didn't know that. Actually, I just got so I had the I don't know what the brand is, but it's a Portugal brand of film.
Oh, Cinemot.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all re-rolled Eastman motion picture film.
Okay, yeah.
So you'll have some double X in there, some Vision 3 films.
Okay, yeah, I haven't shot it yet, but I was kind of waiting for spring, summer kind of thing. Mm. So, but I'm really excited for that, yeah.
Okay, so Tanya, the dreaded
No.
question.
No.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, again, my name is Tanya, and I really like photography. <How's that? laughs> I've been doing it my whole life.
Nice.
Awesome. Well, I did also see on your Instagram page that you've traveled quite a bit. And do you have like a favorite place you like to photograph, like somewhere you'd love to go back to?
Oh, go back to.
Yeah.
So I'd probably really like to go back to Spain again, because there was, you know, before I got into film photography again, I was doing a lot of like just the digital photography. And that was when I was in Spain. So I would love to go back and like actually capture it on film. Not that nice. That really make a difference, but I don't know, kind of in a way.
For sure.
It feels special to shoot film when you're traveling.
Where I was in Spain, it was just like the landscape was beautiful, like the mountains, then you had the beaches, and just like the architecture was like, and the colors too were just.
Whereabouts amazing. In Spain were you?
It was Seville and Malaga.
Nice.
Okay. South, and then I actually went to Gibraltar as well.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Which would been pretty cool to photograph again. So I'd love to go back there too. New York City is somewhere I've traveled a lot in my life, but for my 40th birthday, which was last August, I ended up going to New York City with my family, and I was really excited because, again, it was one of those things that now I'm back into film photography. Like, I brought the Hasselwald there and was just able to just have, like, I had an afternoon where I was just like, just gonna wander around. Everyone, you guys do your thing in New York. I just go around and just like photograph. So that was a lot of fun because New York City,
awesome city.
You
awesome.
Never, like, you, I could live there my whole life and I feel like I would never photograph enough, right? You can stand on one corner and
just let the world bazillion, go by.
Oh yeah. So that
what I love about New York too is like people are so used to cameras that they just don't even pay attention to you at all.
Yeah.
So it's great. If you're scared of doing street photography, literally just go to New York City, stand on a corner.
Yes.
You could spend all day.
I actually had like I was actually doing that at one point. I was standing on the corner. I was like trying to, you know, frame up the shot, and some guy was just like, "Hey, that's a good frame there. Like that looks like perfect. You're in a good spot." I'm like, "Thanks."
That's awesome.
Not what are you doing? What are you looking at? So
they just looked at you as like, "Yes, that's a good frame." Take a half step to the left.
So yeah, but I like. A place I haven't been that I really want to go. I want to go to like Western Canada. I've never been.
Me too.
I've never been out west, the mountains, or you know, to the West Coast. So that's kind of like a dream to go, and also for photography. Like anytime I see someone going out, you know, to Calgary and then going through like Lake Louise and all those kind of places, I'm just like.
Like, what's so amazing about Western Canada too is like there's so many different like climates and different scenes,
landscapes,
like,
and yeah,
like there's desert in Alberta and then there's mountains in BC and then there's redwood forests out there, and it's just like mind-blowing how many different things you could go through.
Oh yeah, like in my dream like big road trip would be to like go from BC and then go all the way down to the end of California, like that whole coast, right? Like
I've wanted to do that trip too,
like
hit up all the me and my camera stores.
Yeah. Just like the dream. Maybe we should like do a trip, like everyone just like
the Toronto Film Shooters trip.
Yes,
whoever can go, whoever wants
Pacific
to go,
Pacific Coast
go.
Highway trip.
Yeah.
What is it, Highway 1? Is that it? Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah, with the different all the different landscapes. So
yeah.
One day, I hope.
Nice. I'm sure you will.
And yeah. That's all I got about myself.
Nice. Well, again, thank you so much for agreeing to come on the podcast. It was a lot of fun to have you on.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Really. Jess, why don't you lead us out?
Oh boy. I didn't actually even prepare anything, but All right. Well, this is Jess Hobbs. And thank you so much, Tanya, for being here. It was wonderful getting a chance to talk with you. I was so excited when Alex said that he had asked you to be on the show and you said yes. So it was great getting to chat a bit.
Yes.
And to everyone else, just pick up whatever camera you love, film, digital, anything, phone, doesn't matter. Just go out there and shoot what you love and enjoy it.
And yeah, I will echo Jess's sentiments. Thank you so much. I've only ever met you actually once at a photo meetup, but I always enjoy seeing your work on Instagram. And yeah, my name's Alex Loke. Shoot what you love, with what you love, on what you love. Don't give into the hype.
Yeah, echoing Alex and Jess, not to be a broken record, but absolute pleasure to finally get to talk to you kind of in person / on screen. I know we talk through DMs.
Yeah.
But it's been absolutely lovely. I know when Alex mentioned it, I was like, I want to sit on this interview. I know I've been on for like a year, but I want to sit on this.
Aww.
One. But yeah, it's been absolute blast listening to kind of like your process and everything. I'm looking forward to meeting you at a meetup at some point. And yeah, this is Chris, and I'll see you later, guys, gals, and non-binary pals.
And this is where we put in the intro, and we usually do silly stuff that people don't actually hear or see because...
Okay, really? Because I was going to say, I love the intro part. Like, I love the actual music and stuff when I listen to it. I'm like, well, I always wonder what you guys do during this part.
Dance, gab, you know, all the fun stuff.